Well, we've come to the last week of our Advent message series called The Promise of Christmas. During this series, we've been talking about messages from several different prophets in the Bible who were sent by God to the Jewish people in their darkest hour. And each of these ancient prophecies is different, but together they add up to one great and eternal promise, the promise of Christmas. In the first week of the series, Jeremiah promised that God would send a new king who would rule the people forever. He would restore the Davidic monarchy. In the second week, Baruch promised that God would bring his people home. He would bring them together in their homeland, like a grandmother gathers her family at Christmas time. And last week, Zephaniah promised that God would live with his people. He would be present in their midst, and they would know and feel that loving presence. Three hopeful messages, three trustworthy promises. But there's one last promise in our Advent readings that we're looking at today, and this promise was pretty unexpected. It was sort of like a Christmas surprise. You know, sometimes the best things in life are unexpected, aren't they? The best stories take a sudden and unpredictable turn. The best adventures are spontaneous, sometimes even a little impulsive. You might have had a moment like that in your past, a surprising moment. Maybe you met a stranger on the street and you had a meaningful conversation. Or you were dreading going to some event, but you actually enjoyed yourself. Maybe you just attained some tiny goal or milestone sooner than when you expected. Whatever it is, sometimes life's little surprises are the most fulfilling experiences. You may be a person that doesn't like surprises, right? There are people like that out there. Like my friend Carol. I'll never forget, on her birthday one year, we whisked her away. We kind of kidnapped her after work to go to an undisclosed location to celebrate her birthday. We all piled into an Uber together when you could do that in those days. And we were all so excited by the adventure. Everyone, that is, except Carol. Because we would not tell her where we were headed, and she was dying to know. At first, she just said, "You know, I hate surprises. Please tell me where we're going." "No, Carol, no. No, really, I hate surprises." And on it kind of went. The whining kind of kept going all through the ride. But as the tiny vehicle sped further into the night, she grew more and more anxious until she became so frantic that she actually tried to reach over and steal the Uber driver's iPhone out of its holster to see where he was taking us. Let's just say he didn't appreciate that very much, and he grabbed it back from her. I'm surprised he didn't slap it in the process. But I get it. I understand Carol's fear. No one likes heading into the unknown. But the truth is that humans need the element of surprise sometimes. Psychiatrists have actually studied the brain when it gets surprised, and whole sections of it just light up with activity. Surprise brings vitality to our lives. It focuses our attention and it inspires creativity. It provides a pathway to living life with more engagement and wonder. And of course, being surprised, well, it's just fun. In fact, I came into the church earlier this afternoon and I found a surprising visitor here. He's still here. Now, don't get me wrong, I love when I find people in the church outside of Mass, but this visitor creeped me out a little bit. He's still around. Does anybody see him? Take a look around. Does anybody see this surprising visitor anywhere? I mean, he's a little creepy. He's dressed in red. Oh yeah, somebody got him right up there on camera three. What is that? Elf on the shelf. Yeah, little creepy guy. He's watching you. All the kids love him. Parents hate him. But anyway, since we love surprises, you know, it's good that we have a God of surprises. In fact, God delights in upsetting human expectations and even working miracles occasionally to keep us on our toes. It's a consistent theme all through the Bible, right? I mean, imagine how surprised Abraham and Sarah were to actually have a child in old age, their first one. Imagine how surprised the residents of Jericho were when the walls of their city came tumbling down after a simple trumpet blast. Imagine the surprise of everyone when David, who was the smallest and the most insignificant of eight brothers, ended up being chosen to be the king of Israel. Lots of surprises in the Bible. And, of course, Jesus himself was the greatest surprise in all of human history. His whole life was unconventional and different. He was an unmarried, uneducated preacher, roaming the Jewish countryside, healing the sick, embracing sinners, preaching mercy and forgiveness. That was unexpected. His promise that the poor and the lowly, the meek, the unimportant in life, the peacemakers would be blessed, while the rich and the rulers and the haughty would be condemned. That was alarming to many people. Dying on the cross as a suffering servant rather than living as a great military hero, that was astonishing. As was his resurrection 3 days later. Indeed, perhaps the most startling discovery of all time was the empty tomb. Yet, almost as shocking was the group of 12 men who turned what looked like a failed ministry with a leader who was executed into a worldwide movement that has saved the lives of billions of people and inspired countless men and women to follow Christ and imitate his love and care for the poor and the sick and the suffering of this world. Shocking, really. Colossal hospital systems, global ministries, and vast networks of schools and charities have all been built in his name. Even his birth was unconventional, right? Think about it. An angel comes to a young woman with a message, a young woman who was definitely not expecting to be expecting. And that's prompted a spur-of-the-moment road trip down south to see her cousin Elizabeth. We heard about it in the gospel passage for today. And Elizabeth herself was a woman long past childbearing age who suddenly also was expecting her first child. And everything about that visit of Mary to Elizabeth was surprising. That Mary would travel the 90 miles from Nazareth to the hill country near Jerusalem by herself while pregnant was unheard of. That the infant in Elizabeth's womb would leap with joy when Mary, pregnant with Jesus, entered the house was bewildering. And consider this, somehow Elizabeth recognizes that Mary is pregnant. How could she have known that? Mary didn't mention it, at least not in the passage. She couldn't have been showing yet. She had only been pregnant about a week. That's a real shock. And for that matter, how did Elizabeth know that the child was the Messiah, much less the Son of God? Mary had barely walked in the door unannounced when Elizabeth cried out in a loud voice, "Most blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? See, she knew. The term "my Lord" was often used throughout the Bible to refer to the Jewish king. And the Hebrew name for God, when it was translated into Greek, was Lord. The fact that Elizabeth instantly knew Jesus was the future Messiah and God himself was astonishing. But perhaps the most remarkable of all was that Mary believed everything that the angel told her. As Elizabeth said, "Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." Well, another huge surprise was the kind of king this child one day would turn out to be. And that's the surprise we hear about in the first reading tonight. From a different prophet, making another promise to the Jewish people during another difficult time. And the Messiah that this prophet talks about is a very unexpected savior. The prophet's name was Micah of Moresheth. It sounds like something straight out of The Lord of the Rings, but actually he was an ordinary man from a tiny rural village 20 miles outside of Jerusalem. He lived about 700 years before Christ, and at that time the Jewish nation, again, was under threat of military aggression. But Micah was different than the other prophets we talked about. The other prophets tended to focus on international affairs. They would advise the king on what God wanted them to do about threats from great empires like Assyria and Babylon and Egypt. But Micah was different. He didn't have access to the king. He didn't live in the royal city. He was a simple villager. Micah was more at home in the rural countryside than he was in the imperial court. And his passion was not foreign affairs, but social justice. He condemned the elite of society, the rulers, the priests, the judges, and other prophets, because they were doing some really bad things. They found loopholes in the law to seize the land and the homes of the poor. They took bribes right and left. And they looked the other way when the merchants in the marketplace cheated their customers. And Micah hated it. Micah hated the arrogance and the pride of all those who committed these injustices. He talked about it a lot in the book he wrote for the Bible. And in a very famous passage in chapter 6, he asks all of the elite of society one simple question. God has told you what is good, he said. And what does the Lord require of you? Three things, he said. To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. And when he had finished telling them this, he also told them to not even bother with bringing their sacrifices to the temple. Without justice and kindness and fidelity to God, those sacrifices are meaningless. You can't come to church on Sunday and then live selfishly the rest of the week. In fact, the second reading today makes an identical point. It says, sacrifices and offerings, holocausts and sin offerings, God neither desired nor delighted in. So what does God really want? Well, the author tells us, God wants a humble person who says to him, behold, I come to do your will. And that is the kind of king that Micah promised would come to Israel. A king who would do God's will. God's covenant still stands, he assured the people, but he told them that this new leader would be surprising, and he would be surprising in two ways. The first way is that this ruler would not come from the royal city, Jerusalem. He would come from a tiny village in a backwards area, a place of no importance, Bethlehem. Here's what he says, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too small to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel. And the second surprise was this. This king, this Messiah, would not exercise military power as everyone had hoped and expected. Rather, he would rule in peace, and he would provide for his people like a shepherd tends his flock. He shall stand firm, Micah says, and shepherd his flock by the strength of the Lord, not by his own strength, not by chariots and charioteers, not by an army, but by the strength of the Lord, and he shall be peace. What a surprise. Jesus, a peaceful shepherd king, born in a podunk town to an unwed mother with no money or status. And yet, he is the promise of Christmas fulfilled. He is the king, the prince of peace, the Christ born on Christmas night. The beauty of Micah's passage today is that it calls us to see God's faithfulness in surprising ways and to look for him where we might not expect. Micah reminds us that God's promises are not always predictable, but they can be trusted. God one day will end up surprising you. Maybe he already has. And maybe, just maybe this Christmas, he will surprise you again. Maybe it's a long overdue reunion with a long lost friend, or a moment of forgiveness in your family that you didn't expect. Maybe it's a sudden windfall, a season of abundance just when you needed it the most. That happened to me once. I spent it all. Perhaps God will move your heart with unexpected generosity. Maybe God will give you a moment of faith that this Christmas that you've never experienced before. Maybe it's a little bit of sorrow, too, that although difficult, will draw you closer to God's love. In less than a week's time, the eternal promise of Christmas will be fulfilled. And on Christmas Day, we will rejoice like we do every year. But this year may be a little different. This year, maybe you want to be prepared for a surprise from the God who loves to surprise us. And when you least expect it, expect it.